Please join me in the responsive reading of our Thanksgiving litany. Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy upon us. Christe eleison, Christ have mercy upon us. Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy upon us. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of our death, and in the day of judgment, help us, good Lord. To give all nations peace and concord, to preserve our country from discord and contention, to direct and defend our government and all in authority, and to bless and to keep all who administer justice and all our people, we beseech you to hear us, good Lord. To protect all who travel, to give and preserve to our use the fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers, we beseech you to hear us, good Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The text for our devotion today is taken from the first verse of Psalm 106. Praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. The danger of repetition is that by saying something so often and so frequently, sometimes we can start to forget about the great value that it has or exactly what is being expressed and said. I think about how often I have sung the Star-Spangled Banner at a baseball game and just kind of almost forgotten about what the words are really singing about and so on. Or maybe the expression, how's it going? We just throw that out and we don't even expect a response sometimes. And if that's true in our secular lives, it is certainly all the more true when it comes to our spiritual lives. There are oftentimes many words that we use and say in our worship that because they are so familiar to us and we've used them so frequently, we may have the tendency to forget about exactly what we're doing or saying and the significance that they hold. That can be true for me, I know, when it comes to praying the Lord's Prayer, as we just did, or saying the Apostles' Creed, or hearing the benediction at the end of the service. The words of our text also fall into that category for me as well. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. How many times in my life have I said or heard those words? Probably thousands. And because of that familiarity, I might be tempted to just kind of forget about the significance that is in those words. Those words deal with gratitude. On a day like today, as we are thinking of our national holiday of Thanksgiving tomorrow, we are reminded of the importance of giving thanks and of gratitude. But actually, ingratitude is something that I'm probably more familiar with in my heart and in my mind. It's so deeply inbred in my sinful nature. And sometimes there are certain events that happen in my life that remind me about how ungrateful I am and how ungrateful I can be. Years ago, I used to live in a very, very wealthy community in Florida, had a lot of extremely well-to-do people around. I remember there was one man that had a home that was worth $8 million, and it was his fourth house, if you can imagine that. He would come and live there for 2 months out of the year. At the same time, in that very wealthy community, there were many tomato and pepper farms outside of the city, and because of that, there was a high migrant worker population, a lot of people that had come there from South America and some of the islands and were living in small little squalid trailers. And so you had this extreme mixture of great wealth and at the same time such extreme poverty. And one day I happened to be standing in line at the grocery store, and right in front of me was a man. And I could see in his hands that he had a lot of cash, and he had a nice, probably Gucci watch on or something, and his car keys had Ferrari on them. And I looked behind me, and the man standing right behind me in line was holding food stamps to buy his food. And I thought to myself, here I am right in the middle, and economically too, and how my heart longs to be the guy holding on to the Ferrari keychain, rather than thinking about how greatly blessed I have been and how the man behind me might have been looking at me the way I was looking at the man in front of me. There are spiritual dangers for us living in a land with so much wealth around us. This materialistic world that we live in and the fact that we're so blessed in this country can cause us to forget about being as grateful as we should, and it can start to warp our thinking. I just jotted down for myself five of the dangers that I have seen in my own spiritual life for this. First of all, it can cause me to be less concerned about eternal treasures, about heaven. Secondly, it can cause me to feel entitled to what I do have, as if somehow I should have this, I deserve this, and somehow I had something to do with getting it. It can cause me to be less grateful for the things that I've been blessed with. It can also make me less mindful of the fact that everything I do possess really does come from the hand of God. To demonstrate that, think how quickly he could take it all away if he really wanted to. And it also, as I thought of myself in that line, it also can make us envious of those who have more. The familiar words of our text help us to keep our spiritual lives in perspective. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. His mercy. This is describing a quality in the heart of God that found its ultimate expression on the cross. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate expression of God's mercy and compassion towards sinners like us, as ungrateful as we can be, that he still chose to desire to have you and me come to heaven someday, even though we were completely undeserving of that. And sent his own son into the world to take on our flesh, to live a perfect life in our place, and to die as our substitute on Calvary, so that I could stand here today on behalf of that God in heaven and declare to every one of you the forgiveness of all of your sins, and that through faith in this Savior you have the hope of going to heaven. That is mercy. That is mercy at its best, at its peak, at its finest. It's the same mercy that caused our Lord Jesus to treat the penitent sinners so tenderly, that caused him to deal so gently with the woman crying at his feet and the thief at the cross and so on. And on account of that mercy that you and I have now been shown by God, given to us in his word and sacrament, we now, by faith and through the work of the Holy Spirit, can look at the earthly gifts that we have in this life with a completely different set of eyes, as kind of bonus blessings, if you will. Use your imagination for just a moment. Imagine that you were sleeping in your bedroom in your house one night, and suddenly you woke up and you realized your home was on fire and your room was in flames and you didn't know how you were going to get out. And all of a sudden there was a crash into your bedroom window, and here in that upstairs window came your neighbor rushing in, someone you didn't know that well. And he came rushing in, fighting off the flames, grabbed you out of your bed with the blankets and brought you over to the ladder and helped you down the ladder. And while you were going down ahead of him, things began caving in on him, and he ended up being badly burned and had to be taken away to the hospital, to the burn unit. But you were spared and you were saved and so on. And imagine a couple years later that very same neighbor, who now bears all the scars and the burn marks on his body of that night, that same neighbor at Christmas time comes and gives you a gift, and it's a sweater. And it's not the sweater you wanted, but it's a nice sweater anyway. Just think how differently you would look at that sweater when you put it on compared to the other ones that you had. This is how it should be with us when it comes to Christ and with his mercy toward us. Just think what he has done and taken on himself to rescue us from the flames of hell, that we'd never get to know what those are like, so that we could live forever with the angels in heaven. Just think what we have in our future because of his great sacrifice. And in light of this greater work that he has done for us, even the blessings that we get in this life and the things that he lets us have and enjoy in this life, maybe they're not always the best that others might have ahead of us, but how we should look at them with a whole different set of eyes based upon what he has already done and accomplished for us, and especially what he has waiting for us. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. Please rise and join with me in the collect responsively. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new to us every morning, and though we have in no way deserved your goodness, you abundantly provide for all our needs of body and soul. Give us, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness toward us, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
Love God.